going to talk a little hockey here coming up. And just for tonight, I am thinking a lot about the things that Minnesota sports fans have to get excited about. And I'm trying to put it into different categories, like how excited should you be about the Minnesota Vikings offseason? Or is the Aaron Rodgers potential taking away from your excitement or adding to it, potentially, if you're a big fan of Aaron Rodgers coming to the Vikings? And the Wolves were so close last night to having everybody captivated and on board, and here we go with the Wolves, and they're finally gelling, and then they blow it. And earlier this year, oh, it was Minnesota wild time, Stanley Cup baby, here we come. And then all the players got hurt. And now they are battling to stay in playoff position. And to talk about that, my friend Jess Myers of the Pioneer Press. Mr. Myers, is that an accurate description of the Minnesota Wild?
Well, I'm not injured right now. Not currently.
Okay, so you're doing good. Although, okay, that's good. Good to hear.
Although, as soon as we're done, I'm going to walk the dog. So, I mean, you know, the old joke is when a player is listed as day-to-day, you know, we always say, well, aren't we all really day-to-day in our own little way? Yeah, it's been just a mess of injuries. And, you know, it seemed like, you're right, things were going along fine. At one point, this Minnesota Wild team was 18-4-4. I mean, think about that. You win 20, you know, 22 or 18 of your first 22 games or whatever, you win. Crazy how well they started out. And what really amazes me about that is this year was maybe supposed to be a write-off. Mm-hmm. You know, there was all this talk in the preseason, and when we talked with Craig Leopold, the owner, the big thing he stressed to us back in September was, wait till next summer. We're going to have all this cap space. We're going to have all this money to spend. You know, wait till all the things we can do. And at the time, I said, well, what about this year, though? How do you get fans excited for this year? It turned out to be an unbelievable start. They went on the road for most of October. They won most of those games. Just had a lot of people excited. And Kirill Kaprizov, who we always knew he had this in him, was off to a truly an MVP-type season. And then we show up in Dallas the day after Christmas, and, oh, wait a minute, 97 didn't make the trip. Since Christmas, he's played three games. He's got two assists. He's had surgery. He's been shut down. And that really derailed a lot of things offensively for this team. Now, with all of that said, that cushion of points they built up early in the season, they're going to make the playoffs. They've got like a 98% chance of making the playoffs. But at one point, there were real designs on winning the division, you know, getting home ice in that first round. And it doesn't look like that stuff's going to happen. They're looking realistically more at a wild card slot. If the playoffs started today, they'd be going to Vegas for the first round, which I know a lot of Minnesota Wild fans who would be fine with that because, you know, you talk about a great destination for road fans to go. But that's just kind of where we are right now. Just a lot of key injuries at bad times. And it's derailed a lot of what this team could have done.
So in 30 minutes or less, what's the latest on the injury report with Kaprizov, Eriksson Ek, Brodin? Who else am I missing? I mean, I feel like, Jess, if these guys come back and they're healthy and good to go, they can be kind of a nasty team, right? We could kind of pick up where they left off.
That was the thought on about February 1st when they decided, you know what, instead of letting Kirill Kaprizov play at 60%, let's shut him down. Let's let him have surgery. They had that two-week break for the Four Nations coming up where he wasn't going to play anyway. Now, I think they expected that he would be back by now. He is not. And as of yesterday, he and Joel Eriksson Ek have not even yet resumed skating. The nice word from the team, the politically correct way of putting it was, they are progressing off the ice, which means they're not skating yet. So that's not good for a team that has 14 games left because, you know, once they start skating, then it's probably another week before they can fully practice. And then it's, you know, probably another couple days after that before they're back in the lineup. And one thing we know about Kirill Kaprizov when he's been injured in the past, he takes a couple games to kind of get going. You know, he doesn't jump right into things. So, you know, if those guys come back in the next week or so, yes, you're looking at a team that's essentially loading up for the playoffs. And that was one of the reasons that Bill Guerin said that they didn't do a lot at the trade deadline. Number one, they don't have a lot of money because they're right up against it with the salary cap. But number two, you know, he's insistent that, hey, we're going to get these guys back for the playoffs. Philippe Gustafsson, their goalie, when we asked him at the trade deadline, you know, are you okay if this is your team? He said, well, we're going to acquire Kirill Kaprizov. We're going to acquire Joel Eriksson. We're going to acquire Jonas Brodin. So they're almost treating that as like acquisitions late in the season here that they think are going to help this team for a potential playoff run.
Normally, I would kind of roll my eyes at stuff like that, but I think in this case, it's really true that it is going to feel that way because this has just not been the Minnesota Wild hockey team all season long. And they go out and they get Gustav Nyquist, who has been around for a really long time, and he's been a point producer in the league, but not here so far yet. Jess,
right.
Do you think that he just needs more time? Is this something that you don't feel like is working, or where are they at with this acquisition? Because when I saw, and now back in my day as a hockey reporter, Jess, I covered Gustav in the American Hockey League, and he lit it up. So in my brain, this guy is still some sort of amazing player. He hasn't really been that in a few years, but he still can produce to some extent. So why do you think it hasn't worked so far?
He is a serviceable top six forward, you know, and for whatever reason, I wrote about this yesterday. He's super well liked in the locker room. That's one thing. Number two, he was with this team 2 years ago. It was brief, but there wasn't that kind of break-in period. He came back to Minnesota. He knew a lot of the guys. He felt comfortable here. And that's a big thing with getting him into the offense. Now, people say, yeah, but he hasn't scored yet. And I say, look at the score sheet. Nobody's scoring right now. So if you're right. going to single him out for that, you got a long list of guys you got to talk to. I mean, they won last night. It was a huge win. But Matt Boldy now is 11 games without a goal. Marco Rossi now is 10 games without a goal. These are, you know, the guys that were supposed to step up. One of the things I've written about recently was this attitude that you'll always hear about when guys are injured. And that's all we've heard about with the Wild this year is guys being injured. But the next line you always hear is next man up, next man up. Guys taking on new roles, guys taking on new responsibilities. And we just haven't seen that next man yet. You know, last night it was Matt Zuccarello who got a huge power play goal late and the Wild get a win over a Los Angeles team that had dominated them twice this year. And that was a huge win because it puts them back at like 98% chance of making the playoffs. But they're still looking for some offensive solutions. They're still looking for a catalyst. And putting it as easily as I can, they're still looking for the next man. And maybe Nyquist can be that if he gets on a little bit of a run here.
I mean, he is really only a year separated from being a very good scorer, 75 points with Nashville. And I think that's still in there for him. But that's the hard thing about making a midseason acquisition is you never really know. Is it going to instantly work and give your team a boost, or is there going to be a transition period? Clearly, we know where that stands. But just amazingly, Jess, looking at their game-to-game log here, they have scored four goals one time since February 22nd. I mean, that is ludicrous. Like, to even still stay in the race with that lack of scoring, I think it shows you how desperate they are. But opportunity is upon us, Mr. Myers. The Seattle Kraken, the Buffalo Sabres, these next two games that they got. Hey, if there's some get-right games, I feel like they are coming up here.
I thought the joke you were going to make was that you covered the AHL. The team was called the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There it is. That's fully deserved.
I went there. I did, yep. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. That franchise has been a mess for just way too long. And as you know, Buffalo is a fantastic hockey town. It's a great community. They love their sports. And, you know, it's just sad where a place where people really care and the Sabres just haven't been able to put anything together in such a long time. But you mentioned the Seattle Kraken. Interestingly enough, I was just out there last week. Wild had a game there. That was the one night they scored four goals.
Yes.
And this is what was crazy about that game. Another cliche, another great cliche in hockey. You've heard it 100 times. We got to play a 60-minute game. We got to play a full game. We got to play a full three periods. That night, they played about a 30-minute game, and they somehow still managed to win. They got a 4-1 lead, and then they just hung on for dear life for the last 30 minutes and got out of there with a 4-3 win in Seattle. And that's the only time they've shown any kind of offensive flash this month. But hey, they put up three goals last night against a good Los Angeles team. One of them was an empty netter. So maybe this is a sign that the seal is about to break, as Matt Boldy has said a few times. As soon as the seal breaks, we'll be fine.
Well, they've got some seal-breaking opportunities. They've got a couple matchups with New Jersey coming up. So, you know, there are some opportunities there. Hey, I haven't been paying close attention to this, but I wanted to ask you, where does Ovechkin stand in the goal record? Is that possible that March 27th, when he comes here, that could be a thing?
If my numbers are correct, I believe he needs 8 goals currently, and that game in Minnesota is 5 games from now. So he'd have to have a couple multi-goal games. But don't kid yourself. That's going to be a tough ticket when he comes to town. Even if he's within, let's say he's within 3 or 4, when you know there's going to be a sold out crowd that night. Wayne Gretzky will be in the building. I'm sure he'll start following him around. So that goes back to like the early days of the Timberwolves, where the only reason you went to Target Center was to see the opponent. But that's going to be one of those nights where there's going to be a lot of fans on hand to see the opponent, because you talk about a fun sideshow in the NHL this year, and Alex Ovechkin has definitely been that.
Well, I think Alex Ovechkin scoring multiple goals in a couple games is not implausible for him leading up to that. I hope it happens. That would be a very, very cool crowd to see. And hey, at least, they have a 98% chance to make the playoffs still, which sounds like an opportunity for Minnesota sports to strike. But more likely than not, you'll be covering playoff hockey in your first year with the Pioneer Press on the beat. That's all you could ask for, Jess.
Absolutely. Again, for a team where, there were not huge expectations. They missed the playoffs last year because of a ton of injuries. They made a coaching change, all of that stuff. I mean, they really seem to be thriving with the way that John Hines has coached this team. And, you know, they did, I guess, what they could maybe at the trade deadline. An interesting acquisition of Justin Brazo, who is another guy who's a big body, who they like in that bottom six role. They like him going to the net, taking up space. Not a great skater, kind of a project that way. But, they like that acquisition as well. And he seemed to kind of found a fit on that fourth line with this team as well.
Well, we will see how it goes down the stretch here. I do think if they could get the guys back, that they could be dangerous toward the end of the season. Always a favorite to bring on, Jess. When I was asked, who do you want for a guest tonight? First on my list, Jess Myers. I'm also going to tell Jace Frederick that later. But you were definitely one of the people that I mentioned to come on. So thank you for your time, sir.
I'm on that list. You have it just as available. So that's
yes.
I'm always there.
Who
right?
always says yes? I guess Jess does, and we should talk some. No, man. That I appreciate you. So thanks for your time, and enjoy the rest of hockey season.
Always great to talk hockey. Thanks, Matthew.
All right. Jess Myers, Pioneer Press, doing a great job over there. Jess has written hockey for a million years, but his first year covering it for the Pioneer Press.